Hey, everybody, welcome back to the podcast. Today, we have Dana from Flower Girl and Flame Pizza, and we're going to talk about starting a mobile business and transitioning from a mobile business, a mobile catering pizzeria, to a brick and mortar. That's exactly what they're doing. A great episode. Check them out, Flower Girl and Flame on Instagram. Their pizzas look fantastic. They are in Milwaukee, one of my favorite cities that I've ever visited in my travels of speaking and working with clients around the country. Milwaukee's on the top of my list. I love it there. So check it out. I think you're going to enjoy this episode. It's a great chat with Dana. Very much appreciated for her joining me on the podcast. Always, as usual, too, if you need some help from us, smartpizzamarketing.com/zip. And if you want to download our content ideas, I made a list, a PDF, 65 free content ideas to give you a head start on social media. I really, truly believe that Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, TikTok, not all of them, but those platforms, if you dominate one or two in your area, you're going to be well on your way to never having to worry about getting customers or potential employees, because a lot of your potential employees are hanging out on these platforms. And if you're creating content and showing up all the time in front of them when they are consuming content there, they're going to know you. And when you do need some help, they're going to be able to reach out. So 65 free content ideas. Go to smartpizzamarketing.com/content ideas to download that free PDF today. Now, thank you to our sponsors. Here's a couple. If you're looking to market your pizzeria in 2021, you have to contact MailShark. It's got to be your direct mail go-to company. Whether you want to get your menu in the hands of new customers or promote your pizza shop with a postcard, magnet, or one of the hottest direct mail pieces, they have these plastic postcards. MailShark will work with you to come up with the best marketing plan that fits your budget, and that's very important in 2021. MailShark gives pizzerias the ability to spread those mailings and payments out over a weekly schedule. So it doesn't have to be all upfront money. It helps you out, lets you work with them to put those content pieces out and pay for it as you go. Thousands of pizzerias trust MailShark with their direct mail and printing marketing. They are the best in the industry. Give them a call today, 610-621-5116, or you can visit them at themailshark.com/SPM to find out how they can help your pizza shop. They have so many options available. Again, 610-621-5116 or themailshark.com/SPM. If you're looking for consistent quality and superior fresh tomato flavor, check out Stanislaus Food Products. Real Italian values guide this family-owned company. Values like work hard, never cut corners, always do your best, and keep your word. They know consistent flavor and quality is crucial to great food. That's why they work so hard to provide you with the freshest tomato flavor can after can. You can follow them on Instagram at Stanislaus Tomatoes for weekly business building ideas from other successful pizzerias. And I have to say, over the past few months, I've been using Stanislaus products in my pizzas that you see over on Instagram that I'm making at home, and I'm very happy with the results. I love this food product, and I'm very picky about who we suggest you use here on the podcast. So if you hear them on the podcast, you know I endorse them, I use them, I enjoy them. So if you're listening to this, go check them out on Instagram at Stanislaus Tomatoes. You will not regret it. All right, well, thank you to our sponsors for making this show possible. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast, and here we go with our episode with Dana. Right now. All right, welcome back to the podcast. Dana from Flower Girl in Flame is joining me on the podcast today. Dana, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I'm excited to talk to you.
I'm excited. Thanks so much for having me.
I love what you're doing. I've actually checked you out on Instagram. I followed you there. I haven't had the pleasure of visiting you yet, but I definitely see your pizzas on Instagram. They look amazing. So before we get into all of that, like how you make pizza and how you learn to do that, let's hear a little bit of your backstory. Like, how did this all start for you? How did you get into this pizza business?
So I'm the executive chef at a catering company here in Milwaukee. And when the pandemic hit, we catering, you know, everything,
yeah,
like the rest of the world came to a screeching halt. And I don't do well with idle time. so, you know, we had laid off our entire staff and it was kind of like, all right, you know, what now? How do we generate some revenue? And, you know, we started selling tacos on the street out front, and we've got a big wood-fired grill. You know, we were just trying to do whatever we could, and I got an email from Fire Within selling their mobile units, and I just kept going back to that email, like, there's something here. And then I finally made a phone call and I was like, can you run it with one person? And the guy was like, well, no, but, so it just kind of spun from there. So I ended up getting a Mainwood Heat, you know, mobile trailer I think I bought the trailer in July. We did our first event mid August and just kind of blew it up from there.
Wow. Have you ever made pizza like for business before?
No. Dough is totally out of my comfort zone. Pizza was not a thing that I typically do or work with. We eat a ton of pizza at home.
So do I.
Like a stupid amount of pizza. Wood-fired cooking's always been my thing. So, I mean, during the pandemic, just started rolling out some doughs and throwing them on our Santa Maria grill. And then it all came together. I mean, testing, making pizzas, started out in a little KitchenAid mixer, then went up to a 20-quart Hobart. And now, I mean, we've got a behemoth now.
Wow.
Yeah.
So where did you go for information to like learn how to, was it just trial and error or did you go a specific place?
You know, I went on Amazon and got every wood-fired pizza book.
Yeah.
I've got two that I absolutely love that are just so dog-eared right now and started the recipe from there. And if you go way deep in our Instagram, I mean, the pizzas have gone through this, like they looked crazy, starting out. So our pizzas have definitely gone through this kind of transformation. I added sourdough in after about 6 months. And I've just been super happy with where it's at.
So you knew nothing about the business. Like, well, you knew about a restaurant because you worked in it, but you knew really nothing about pizza or the pizza business.
Nothing. Yeah, nothing. I mean, my experience is large-scale caterings, you know, thousands of people per week, big events, but really scaling that down into this little pop-up business was totally different.
So what is your business exactly now? Like, what do you do?
So right now we've spent the last 18 months doing pizza pop-ups. So we're out 5 days a week. And we actually, our brick and mortar opens next week.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you, how do you find the jobs where you go? How do people find you? Cause you just started. So how do they kind of find you?
I started, just sat down and started cold calling. So we opened in August. So I started cold calling Apple Farms and Pumpkin Patches. Like, hey, do you guys want a food truck to come set up? And it was kind of humbling to just be like shooting out these little Facebook messages. And I'd send them a picture of the trailer and like a picture of a pizza and just kind of tell them a little bit about what we're all about. And finally, someone answered me and were like, oh man, yeah, we do this pumpkin fest, whatever. This thing, thousands of people. Wow. I mean, it's the busiest, hugest, and we did it every weekend in September and October and just, I mean, had a pile of exposure.
How many people said no to you with those messages and messages and stuff? Did anybody say no or did they just not respond?
It was a lot of not responding and then me following up and then me calling them and being like, hi, I sent you a message and I sent you an email and then being like, yeah, cool, we're not interested. We make our own donuts here, so we're good. And I was like, okay, I mean, I think pizza would be a great addition, but you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So we scored big with where we're at.
I love that though, because you gotta like, as an entrepreneur, especially people who are, there's been a lot of people I've had on the podcast who have started similar businesses to you, maybe not to your scale, but whether that be with Uni's or Gosney's or just like, you know, pizza pop-ups, they wanted to do that. You gotta be, and as an entrepreneur, you have to be okay with negative feedback. You have to be okay with rejection because not everybody's going to love what you do and respond to what you do. And I love the fact that you're like, you know what? I'm just going to go out there and just message people. And eventually somebody's going to say yes.
Yep. Yeah. And I don't know how, I mean, the community has just really responded to us. And I mean, now it's like, I can't keep up the DMs of people just being like, hey, can you do this? Hey, can you do this? Hey, can you do this? We're out there.
Was it all from that one first event?
No, I mean, I don't really know. Milwaukee's really great about supporting new business and local business. And we are the first and still the only wood-fired mobile pizza place in Milwaukee. So I think it was just kind of this concept that people hadn't seen yet. You know, we have some fun with it. We're rolling out live plants and Persian rugs down and just kind of like we're not just doing this little mobile kitchen food truck thing. It's like so much more expansive and welcoming than that. And I mean, people just gotten on board kind of right away.
You know what? I have to say Milwaukee, I hate the cold. I'm from Boston and I hate the cold. But yeah. Milwaukee, I think Milwaukee is one of my favorite cities I've ever visited.
It's amazing. I'm from Chicago originally, and you know, you just get this big city feel with like a small town vibe.
Yeah, it's here. So underrated. Because if you ask me, I actually spoke at an event before coronavirus in Milwaukee. And if you asked me before I went there, if I ever wanted to visit Milwaukee, I was like, no, I hate the cold. I'm never going to Milwaukee. But then I visited. I'm like, wow, this is the best city. This is the greatest city ever. It's like so underrated. I would totally go back to Milwaukee. It's probably the only cold city I ever want to go visit again.
Yeah. Right before the Bucks championship, ESPN said that Milwaukee was like the most terrible city it was very widely publicized about how terrible Milwaukee was, and then the entire city just kind of this battle cry, the terrible city Milwaukee, and it's just been showing how amazing they are.
I love it. I thought it was great. Like the architecture, the small city vibe of it, but you do feel like you're in a city. I loved it. I enjoyed it so much. Maybe because I'm from Boston and Boston's similar.
Sure.
That I maybe felt kind of at home there, but I loved it. So that was like not part of this conversation I want to talk about, but I just want to say how much I like Milwaukee.
That's awesome. No, that's good.
So now you're doing it. And so having a catering background, when you went to that first event and there was thousands of people there, having a catering background probably helps you a little bit with being like, because a normal person who's in that circumstance, who their first event has thousands of people, would have been like, oh my God, what am I doing? I don't know how to handle all these people. So your experience in catering probably was like, all right, I know how to do this.
Managing kind of the anxiety of it all and the stress for sure. But we were so underprepared technology wise. I mean, it was like, all right, I think we need maybe one person can do like all of these things. And then one person can handwrite tickets. And then and then it was like, well, now we have a ticket and what do we do with it? So it was, I mean, we've grown exponentially just, you know, adding in a little bit of technology, monitors, screens. We use the Toast platform now. Okay.
That's a pretty popular platform for people to use, even in brick and mortar.
Yeah. We're gonna continue on with that.
Yeah, I can only imagine what it's like, because I know it's like I make pizza at home. Like I was in the restaurant business and a pizza business for a long time, so I know what it's like to work in a commercial kitchen and how organized it can be. And then you go to your home environment, which is kind of like having pop-ups, right? Because you're not like, it's not like you have commercial stuff, but it's still like the environment changes all the time. You're not really used to the same procedures because it's a different area. So sure. It's like hard. I can only imagine how hard it would be to do a pop-up because of that and all the different variations of circumstances that come up. So is it challenging to do an event and have it be consistent because it's always changing?
Our biggest challenge has been the dough and keeping it the right temperature. I mean, we're working in variables. I mean, anywhere from, you know, 25 degrees out right now to 100 degrees. So we've certainly improved techniques on being able to keep that dough at cold at the right temperature, pulling it out, proofing times, you know, all of that. And I think we've now, knock on, you know, everything, we have it down to be consistent every single time. Yeah. But in the beginning, I mean, it was like, all right, if we pull the dough out the night before, then it'll prove. And then, of course, you know, you come in the morning, it's like, oh my God, it's exploded everywhere. What do we do? I mean, it, you know, underproofing, overproofing, it's all been.
I know, because I don't know what it's like in Milwaukee, because I've only been there a couple times, like once or twice. But in Boston, the variations in humidity and heat between the whole year is so drastic. Like, it's 25 degrees here today, but it's super dry. But in August, it's 90 degrees and super humid. So,
yeah,
it's hard.
It's been crazy.
Yeah, to learn that.
Trying to write this big bulk volume recipe, but then, you know, scratching a pencil on the bottom to be like, but take into consideration barometric pressure, you know, the humidity outside, there should be an app on your phone, you know, but people are like, okay, this is, you know.
Makes you want to like, people in Southern California must have it so easy because it's the same weather all year round.
Seriously. Yeah.
It's like the perfect, you're ever going to do a pizza pop-up, go do it in Southern California because there's no variables there.
Yeah. I always thought culinary school would be the way to go for me because, you know, in my mind, I was like, all right, there's no math. You can, you know, get tattoos and smoke and swear and hang out with fire knives. And it's just like where the cool kids are at. And now my daily is just like nerd glasses and math and like, wow, the volume of the dough and the yeast. And
yeah, it's right. Just,
it's been crazy.
It's way more precise than you would think it would be.
Yep.
Because one little, I learned that. I've actually done a podcast with Noel from Slow Rise Pizza Company. I'm not sure if you've ever heard.
Oh, I definitely have.
Okay. Yeah. And I've never felt so uneducated about dough until I talked to him on my podcast. I thought I knew, you know, I thought I was like, I've been doing this for 20 years. I kind of know a little bit about dough. And then he came on, I'm like, I know nothing about dough.
Yep.
I know nothing.
The more I listen and learn and read, then I'm like, oh, I'm so stupid.
Yeah.
There's so much out there to learn.
But the one thing that I have learned is you never know everything.
No, for
sure. It's a constant. Yeah. It's a constant, like you said, scrolling back between your Instagram, it's a constant learning curve and there's constantly growing and getting better at it. And like, you know what, there's variables that you have to learn and you get more comfortable doing that, but it's always something that you can be new at. That's the cool thing about pizza. It's never done. It's always something that you can improve and change.
Yeah, for sure. We're forever improving.
What kind of style of pizza would you say you have?
So I was really careful. I started my research first off learning Neapolitan style. You know, it's what you do in a wood-fired oven. But then the guys around Milwaukee, the old Italian guys that are doing this true VPN Neapolitan style, I wanted to definitely stay away from calling it that because we're not using an Italian oven. We're using locally milled and stone ground flour. We're not using, you know, caputo or anything like that. So I'm really trying to make the term Wisconsin style pizza stick.
There you go.
So you know, we're doing sourdough pizzas in a Neapolitan style.
I don't think I've ever heard the Wisconsin style pizza. You might be the first to coin that phrase.
I'm really trying to make this work.
What would it be then? So like, give me the most popular Wisconsin style pizza. What would that be if I wanted to order one?
I mean, people love pepperoni. Yeah. That's the jam. And we're really trying to get fun and exciting with our pizzas, our bases, our toppings, our sourcing, all of that stuff. Recently one that's been really popular has just been red sauce, a thick cut salami, and we're doing a little gremolata on top. So parsley, garlic, lemon zest, and then a drizzle of olive oil on the finish. Then the more that we kind of push the envelope on these pizzas, the more I'm prouder and prouder of this city where people are ordering them. You know, yeah. I mean, you put a pepperoni on there, a sausage on there, and six wild six other pizzas, and people are every single time like, oh my God, I got to try that funky ass pizza.
Yeah.
And it's working.
What's the best, like, what are the most, I don't know how to say this. I don't want to say like and offend anybody in Milwaukee, but is Milwaukee known for like good pizza or good pizza palate?
So Milwaukee, I think there's so many different styles of pizzas here, but I think the most popular one synonymous with Milwaukee is kind of that cracker thin bar style pizza crust. Cause
that's what they have in Chicago too, a little bit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Milwaukee does not do like the deep dish pizzas well. I can't even think of a place that's not, you know, Lou Malnati's, which obviously came from Chicago.
Right.
That's doing that worth mentioning.
And what's the best pizza place outside of other than yourself? Like, where would you go to eat pizza in Milwaukee?
So I have two favorite places. One is, right down the street from my house. It's called Way East. And that's a couple that moved here from Portland and they were running a pizza trailer out there. And then they opened up a brick and mortar here. And the other one is Brute Pizza.
Okay.
Just a couple of guys making some sourdough pizzas, really similar to ours, but you know, we love them.
Are those brick and mortars or are they more mobile units?
So Brute started, I think they had two Gosneys or two Unis and they were kind of doing farmer's markets out of a tent and they just moved into their brick and mortar, a month ago. So we've been like a month behind them on everything. They started in July. We started in August doing the pop-up thing. And then now they last month opened up their brick and mortar.
So Milwaukee's becoming a pizza city. There's a lot of great new places, it sounds like.
It's becoming a pizza city. Yeah.
I admire those people who do anything. I have a Gosney and an Uni, and I admire anybody who uses those ovens for business because it's not like you can just put it in there and it's done in 5 minutes. You have to turn that thing every 20 seconds.
I see it everywhere, and I have, you're right, so much respect for these people. Cause I have an uni, the Karu, I think it's like the one, the wood fired one.
Yeah.
And I use it just for trying to, you know, get some shots if I don't want to fire up the whole oven or testing pizza recipes. And it's I mean, I don't use it enough to be super good at it, but it's like, do not look away for 2 seconds because that thing it's done for.
I'm like, my family comes over and, you know, my sister has 4 kids and like, I make like 5 pizzas and I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna start charging you guys next time you come over. This is a lot of work.
It's a ton of work. I've done the same family pizza nights at home out of the uni. And it's just like, oh my God, this is a work.
I'm sweating. This is supposed to be fun. Yep, it's like, I don't know. Around. I can't go. I'm like, put the pizza in. I want to go get something, but I can't leave it.
Nope, don't want.
Nobody else knows what's going on, how to do anything, alone. Yeah. So I have much respect for those people who run businesses. It's just me trying to feed a couple kids. People who run businesses using those, holy smokes,
they're amazing.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it. I don't know if I could do that. Mm-mm. I feel like after one event, I'd be like, I'd just tap out. I'd be done.
I'm out.
I'd have to get a real oven or a brick and mortar or a job somewhere.
Yeah.
So is Instagram, now that you've been doing it, how do people find you for future events? Do they, people who come to your current events, or is Instagram kind of your number one marketing platform?
I think Instagram is where it's at. And, you know, I still don't understand, I have a huge understanding of how to market and how to access all of that stuff. And I don't know why when I post something on Instagram, it only gets 2 likes on Facebook, but, you know, 200 on Instagram and... You probably know. I might look into that. But I mean, Instagram for me was just kind of a happy accident. It's just like posting what we do and a lot of people are responding. And
I mean, I think your pictures are very visual too, and they're very nice looking pizzas. Do you use a camera or just your phone?
An iPhone.
Yeah, that's perfect. I think people overthink it a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Like I'm looking at this pizza right here. It's one that says green and gold.
Okay.
What is that pizza?
Okay.
You know, can I pull up your Instagram on the video over here?
Yeah.
Right, while you talk about that?
So I'm not personally a sports person. I wish I was. I mean, it's so integral to, you know, the community and our city and all that. But we did a Packers tailgate party. And so Packers, green and gold. We kind of wanted to give people the feel of Wisconsin and also what you would get if you were to go tailgating, but in a pizza form.
So Packers are your football team, and
they are Milwaukee's football team.
Is that in Milwaukee? Where is Green Bay? Is that close to
Green
Milwaukee?
Bay.
Or?
Yeah, Green Bay. We're in 2 hours.
Okay, so you guys got you got Green Bay Packers, and you obviously have the Bucks, which is probably super exciting because they just won the championship, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's been a huge, just business and industry boom for the city.
All right, I'm gonna pull up your Instagram here because I think you do a really good job, and I that's kind of how I found you.
Sure.
So your pizzas look fantastic. So you take all of these with just your iPhone?
Yeah.
Is this a Detroit-style pizza?
Yes. So we're dropping Detroit-style next week. It's phenomenal. I'm super excited about it. It's been a labor of love trying to get the Detroit-style right out of the wood-fired oven with, you know, temperature variables and all that stuff. But I think we're there.
Wow. How are you doing that? Are you pre-cooking the dough and then putting it in the wood-fired oven to finish it? Or are you doing it all at once?
So I think that's the direction we're going to go just for ease of, well, speed and service is we're bulk proofing in bulk and then portioning out dough balls the next day and then proofing with the cheese on them.
Yep.
Par baking. So you still get that really nice frica on the outside because it's getting proofed with the cheese, and then the doughs will go into those crusts will then go wherever. And then they'll get topped the rest of the way and fired back in.
I love Detroit style pizza.
We don't have it in Milwaukee.
There's no place around you that does Detroit style?
There's a few places, but like you wouldn't know cause they're not talking about it. And
are they not good or are they just,
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, so we have Jets Pizza. Okay. And I think is that a national chain?
I think so. I think they started in Detroit, but they're more of they're a chain because I know there's many of those locations.
Yeah. So I don't think we have anybody, and sorry if we do, if anyone listens to this and we do have someone local, but I don't think that we have anybody local that's doing it. So, I mean, I think people are pretty excited for us to bring this.
I know there's a few places that I know of that do good Detroits, but they're in Chicago. I don't know if I heard anybody in Milwaukee.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're, you know, next leveling it with the wood fire.
Does it give it a different flavor with the wood fire?
You're always going to get a little bit of that smoky whatever, But honestly, if you put it against, you know, I don't know if I'd be able to tell the difference.
Right.
That's probably not what people want to hear. But like, oh, I just love wood-fired pizza. It's got that little hint of smoke and whatever. I mean, I certainly have my preferred wood that I like to use. I don't want to use anything else. But yeah.
I think the average person has really bad taste when it comes to pizza. So I don't think they'd be able to have any notice of what kind of wood you're using. I think especially pizza Facebook groups, those are the worst.
They're the worst, but I love them so much.
I do too. I look at them all the time, but they have
I'm in the background.
Yeah, I'm a lurker.
Like, yep. No, me too, for sure. Every once in a while I might just do a silent little like or something. But
I'm usually shaking my head in the background, like, oh god.
Yeah.
But I love Detroit style. I think Detroit style right now is probably, I talk about this on the podcast all the time. I think Detroit style is my favorite style of pizza. It's not something that you could eat every day, like a Neapolitan or something you cook in your Gosney, but it's definitely my favorite style at the moment.
The first time I made it, I cannot believe how gluttonous it is. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of oil. Okay, cool. And then just going crazy with the oil and the cheese and all that. Cause you know, your Neapolitan style is so minimal.
Yeah.
And the toppings are so minimal.
It's the total opposite.
It is. Yeah. And so it took a hot minute to get used to that. And I started doing a sourdough Detroit style, and just the amount of sourdough that goes into it, it like boggles the mind. So scaling that production up has just been completely bananas.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so worth it.
It's so good. It's totally different though. I almost like to buy it out than make it myself, because when you make a Detroit style pizza at home, you never realize like how much cheese goes on that pizza. And you put it on there, you're like, you cook it and I think to myself, I'm like, wow, that's not even close to the amount of cheese that goes on. How much cheese do they actually put on this thing?
It's bananas.
But it's so good.
Yeah. Worth it.
But the Neapolitan, like, I don't know, you said I don't want to call it Neapolitan style that you do, but your style of pizza is something that people could eat more often for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely.
What is your favorite style?
I used to be a thin crust person because again, so I, you know, we talked about people who don't have great pizza palates. I mean, that's probably me. Like I just like pizza. Like I don't remember ever having a slice of pizza, maybe being like, that wasn't the best, but I eat pizza.
You're not a Domino's chain person, are you?
No.
Okay, good. I was going to kick you right off the podcast.
Never.
Okay, good.
Never. Just because, I mean, we're such proponents of supporting local business that I would die inside.
The only time I've ever eaten Domino's pizza, and I want to admit this on the podcast, is like, it was, you know, I got home from the airport and nothing was open.
Yeah.
That's the only time I ever had to eat something. And I think I didn't even eat it all. I couldn't even get through it, but I needed something. It's the only time I would ever do that.
So since we're making confessions now, I have tried the Pizza Hut Detroit style.
Is it a good?
You have to try it.
All right. There's not a lot of Pizza Huts. Now, there's no Papa John's or Pizza Huts for some reason do not do good in my area. Domino's is all over the place.
We have a ton of all three. But the Pizza Hut Detroit style, and it came out right when I was researching all things Detroit style, and you just can't get it around here. And so we've probably ordered it three times in the last couple months, and dude, it's really good.
All right. I'm going to try it out. I'm going to go search for a Pizza Hut and try it out. I trust you.
Please. Yeah. So the double pepperoni, you know, they've got the big pepperonis on there, and then they have the little cup and char pepperonis on top. I mean, They do a nice job with it.
Maybe Detroit style is the only style that you can't really mess up.
Have you ever had a bad one?
No. Oh, yes, yeah. I have actually. Yes.
Oh, have you?
One time. I'm not going to say the name.
Don't put them on
blast. I'm not going to say the name of the place. Nah, right. But you know what? I think they did wrong. I don't think they proofed the dough enough.
Oh.
So it was, the flavors were okay, but it was real flat and hard. You know, it wasn't like, I don't think they did a good job with the dough. I think maybe they either rushed it, where they didn't give it enough time to properly proof it. And that's kind of what was wrong with it. But yeah, that was the only one time I had a bad Detroit. Everything else has been pretty good.
Yeah.
There's a place down the street from me who I don't get it too often because you can't eat it a ton, but they do a really good job of a Detroit style pizza. It's addicting.
Yeah, I believe that.
So you said you go to those two places. How, do you bake pizza like for yourself every day?
I don't. We make pizza every day for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, in the name of recipe testing or whatever. And I think It was probably just last week. I had come home and I said to my wife, this will be the fourth time today that I've eaten pizza. And it was three or four different. We had a brunch pop-up of ours. So I had our pizza, and then a new mobile pizza trailer had opened, and I stopped by there and had to try the pizza. And then I got into work and they had ordered pizza from our spot across the street. And then my wife ordered pizza that night. So it was just a day. But
pizza's the only food that I can think of that I could eat every day.
Yep.
You know, everything else I think I would get sick of if I had it every single day.
Yeah. And I still, and this is good, maybe it will sound whatever, but if I don't have our pizza for a while and then I eat it, it's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, every time it's just like, oh my God, I forgot how good this is.
That's so good.
Yeah.
I love that. What have you, what piece of advice, now that you've been in business for a few months and you've been growing, you're going to open a brick and mortar, like what piece of advice would you give to somebody who wants to get started with a pop-up pizzeria or a mobile? Because there's a lot of people out there who are thinking about it.
That's a really good question. And so I spent a lot of time kind of ingratiating ourselves or myself and the business to our community. I think our food truck community specifically has been so warm and welcoming. And I mean, obviously there's probably 1,000 or more food trucks in Milwaukee, but wow. I mean, I have at least 100 or so food truck operators name and contact in my phone, and I could call them at any moment, day or night, and say, hey, how do you handle this? Hey, have you done this event before? How many people do you have there? I would lean on the wisdom of everyone around you. There's a reason, you know, we're friends with all of the local pizza places that some people might call competitors, but right. I mean, we call them kind of collaborators.
Yeah.
Like we're back and forth like, hey, can I borrow a bag of flour? Where do you get those pepperonis I saw on your Instagram? I mean, I think that's the way to do it, is to just lean on the community for support.
That's smart. You know, the pizza community has come a long way in the last few years too, in being supportive and open. When I first was starting to do pizza, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, it was like very secretive. You like ripped the labels off your cans of sauce, even though everybody ordered the same cans of sauce from the same purveyors, just so nobody else would see it. But now it's more open and people are helpful a lot more now than they used to be. What's something that surprised you the most since you started doing this?
Surprised me?
Yeah.
There's been a million of them. I think I'm surprised by how much people love pizza and and talking about pizza. I mean, I knew that this wasn't going to be a hard sell. Like, you know, someone that's selling a maybe ethnic food that you haven't heard of, they have to work doubly hard to kind of say, here's what we're selling. This is what it is. Here's what it tastes like. I promise you it's good. Please try it. It's like, you don't even have to really go into much other than we have pizza.
Yeah.
Come eat our pizza.
They'll give you a shot. People will give you a shot. You say you got pizza, they're going to give it a try.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, again, I knew it would be kind of an easy sell, but I mean, just how excited, the joy, the comfort that pizza brings people has been really pleasantly surprising.
That's awesome. I love it. So where can people go follow you or say hello to you or visit you if they're in Milwaukee?
So we are at 8121 West National in Milwaukee.
Is that your brick and mortar?
It is. Yeah. Yeah. That's our brick and mortar. We're on Instagram under Flower Girl and Flame, and we have a website that admittedly needs a little work, flowergirlandflame.com.
We'll link all that up in the show notes too, if you're listening to this episode and you're driving, or maybe you're making pizza or making dough, wherever you're doing, we'll put all that in the show notes as well. Dana, thank you so much. Don't hang up yet, but thank you so much for joining me in the podcast. It was great talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Well, thank you to Dana for joining us on the podcast. Again, go to smartpizzamarketing.com. We took all the show notes for you over there. We linked up Dana's Instagram, her Facebook, and her website, where you can go check her out, and the address of the business if you are in the Milwaukee area and you want to go take a visit. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. And if you want some ideas to start your business, content marketing-wise, go to smartpizzamarketing.com/content-ideas to get started today. And be on the lookout for Marketing Club Podcast, our other podcast. We have an episode going out later today. We have another episode going out on that later next week. A lot of great podcasts coming up. A lot of great information coming up. We have a ton of podcasts and some content ideas that I'm doing here on the Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast as well. I'm doing a lot of NFTs and crypto. I know that's not going to interest every single person, but I really do believe that there's some way to incorporate this into the pizza restaurant industry in the future. So I'm going to really dive deep and try to share with you some ideas, some steps to get started, and some information for you to get a little bit more knowledge on the subject. So that's going to be coming up in the future as well. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you haven't yet, leave me a review, and we'll see you right back here next week on the Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast.